Okay, well then, how many times at least one thing they weren't following?
That was worthwhile.
So maybe if you follow that, all your problems will go away. Could be. Okay, moving on. So we did that. So this is from the introduction to Living with Shiva. Talking about the Master Course, and leading into it, David goes through the Ashtanga Yoga, 8 steps. Everybody know the 8 steps of Ashtanga Yoga? Anybody not know the 8 steps of Ashtanga Yoga? Okay. Ashta. Anybody know what? Who knows what Ashta is?
8.
Oh, okay. And Anga. Yes, 8 limbs, exactly. Yeah, okay. So 8 limbs. It has 8 steps. Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. In English. virtue is conduct or restraints, religious observances, Niyamas, Asana, of course, posture. Pranayama, regulating the breath, which also means regulating the prana or the energy. Two are synonymous. Pratyahara means turning within, sense withdrawal. Dharana, concentration. Dhyana, meditation. And samadhi is samadhi. Experience of God in one degree or another. So, Vrideva says, Master Course Trilogy is a detailed summary and explanation of Ashtanga Yoga according to the traditions of our lineage in Aninada Sampradaya Kailasa Parampara. And he goes on to explain. But there's a nice story too. If I recall it correctly, and if it's incorrect, then such are stories. Don't have to be accurate in story. So, my understanding of the story is that when the Gurudeva went to Yogaswami's hut, there was just one book on the bookshelf, and that was Patanjali's Raja Yoga. Raja Yoga is another name for Ashtanga Yoga, means the same thing. And so they talked about it. I forget exactly what it shows that it was an important book to Yogaswami, the only book he had. Outline of the 8 steps is very similar to the outline of the steps in Charyakri Yoga and Yama. It's the same idea. It's just a different set of terminology. But I think Gurudeva put Ashtanga Yoga here because it's more broadly known in today's world. You know, talk about Saivasiddhanta and the 4 Padas, Charyakri Yoga and Yama. How many people that you meet have a clue, right? Not very many. But you talk about yoga, yoga postures, Ashtanga Yoga. Oh yes, you know, lots of people can relate to that terminology. So Vrideva was creating more popular, using the more popular terminology. And pointing out the obvious, when you go to study yoga somewhere, what do? You do the asanas, right? You walk in the door and all of a sudden you're doing asanas. What step was asanas? 3rd step, right. So what happened to steps 1 and 2? Where'd they go? So we're coming out with a book on that. It's called Yoga's Forgotten Foundation. Yeah, really. It's we're reprinting the chapters from Living with Shiva, which go into the yamas and niyamas. You know, they're such beautiful chapters. So inspired, shall we say. Gurudeva was really inspired to bring all this wonderful insights, you know, at length insights into the yamas and niyamas that are in Living with Shiva. You don't find this anywhere else. And it's very special material. So we thought it was so special, we repackaged it in the same spirit of the Ashtanga Yoga and called it Yoga's Forgotten Foundation. And it's in process in Malaysia, getting printed. It should be done in a month or two. And we'll ship it over and promote it. So it's a way of getting Gurudeva's teachings on this subject out in to a broader group interested in yoga. And so the obvious point is, wait a minute, why is everyone teaching us the third step without the first two steps? Isn't something wrong here? You know, it's like mathematics, you know, if you don't learn the first step and then the second step, you certainly won't be able to handle algebra, right? You can't start with algebra. We all know that. So how can it work here in yoga? So it only works if you're just interested in yoga as a physical practice, which some teachers, that's all they teach, you know, the physical benefits of yoga. In fact, that was, what was that, on Time or Life? Time magazine? Time magazine had that, physical benefits of meditation, which is good. You know, we don't speak against that. But there are those who practice yoga and do so for a spiritual reason. You know, they want some spiritual benefits. They're not here just to get healthy. I want, or just to be able to be more limber. You know, they're wanting to make some spiritual progress. So if you don't start with the first step, it doesn't work spiritually. That's the point. And why is that? Because you need a foundation. Meditation is a subtle practice, and unless you have a foundation there, you won't be able to sustain it. So we'll go into that a little more later. Let me continue reading. Often the uninformed prefer to start on their spiritual path at steps 7 and 8. Whoa. Not even 3. Ignoring the other 6. More than often wonder why no immediate and lasting results are obtained. Drawing upon over half a century of teachings and explaining, the trilogy articulates in no uncertain terms why you must begin at the beginning with a firm foundation of philosophical clarity and good character, and proceed from there. So philosophical clarity and good character, that's the way of describing the foundation. And for some reason, I wasn't on the program, but on the European Inner Search, Gurudeva came back, and of course I think he wrote this after he came back. See if it has a date. No date. But I think he wrote this after he came back, and that was a strong theme in his mind for some reason. That in terms of how we teach, we need to focus on a foundation of philosophical understanding and good character. Get that in there first. And then, when that's there, we can talk about other things. And said another way, you know, everyone loves to hear about the higher chakras. You know, if you want to fascinate a group, you pull out a chart. You know, there's the chakra man. The spinning chakras, you know, all these, look at that, you know, all these higher chakras, all this possibility and so forth. And all the great possibilities in meditation. And of course that's true. But, you know, when people come, particularly people that aren't studying or just have read Gurudeva's books and start asking me about questions on meditation and chakras and this and that, which happens, you know, I say, well, you know, it's just like learning to dance. You know, what you need to focus on are the things you do worst. Your problems, your weaknesses. You know, this is the strength here. This shows the potential. You know, but if we're still getting angry, you know, if we still go into fear, you know, if we still speak unkindly to other people, you know, those are the qualities we need to focus on. Let's not worry about spinning the higher chakras. You know, sometimes people will come in, how can I spin my highest chakra? And I say, by not spinning your lowest. That's how, you know. So, the idea. Because we need a foundation of good character and philosophy. And once that's in place, then we can make progress. But, you know, definitely when you're dancing, you know, the teacher doesn't show you all these great pictures of dancers and talk about that, you know, to, you know, that movement is wrong, you know, practice. You're off balance, you know, get on balance. You know, points out all the things you're doing wrong, right? All the weaknesses. So the spiritual path is just like that, you know, and a guru will do that to some extent, and, you know, you need to do that too, you know. Be aware of your weaknesses, and, of course, don't condemn yourself for them. That's not the point. You know, this is not a, I'm a frail person who's done all these things wrong, I'm terrible, you know. No. You're a divine being. We made a few mistakes, but, you know, we can compensate for our mistakes and move on and not feel bad about them. So it's in the spirit of, if we can improve our low points, then we move on naturally from spiritual life. So another example I give is the bathtub again. So, you know, have someone who's meditating, practicing meditation and other deeper practices, you know, it's an analogy to a bathtub, the stopper's in, so the water doesn't go out, right? So, you know, water's coming in and it's staying there, right? In fact, it's increasing, depending on. But if we have problems, you know, if we periodically get angry and periodically do things we shouldn't, it's like the stopper's not there. You know, so the water's coming in, and what happens? It's going out the bottom. You know, it's going out. Our emotional outbursts are dissipating the spiritual power we build up during our practices. So we're not making any progress, right? Water's coming in. We're doing our sadhana. We're doing this, doing that. Water's going out the bottom because we don't have a good foundation. We still get angry. We still do this. We still do that. So consequently, obviously, if you spend all your time focusing on meditation, if you don't have a foundation, you're not making any progress. You're missing the point. So let's get that stopper in so that, you know, the energy that we do bring forth, the spiritual energy, isn't lost by inappropriate actions. So if we have a good foundation, then whatever comes in, we maintain it. That's the idea.